morning, churches. The first thing I'm going to do is actually take my glasses off, because all I can see is me, and I fucked it. Very off-putting. Please feel free to switch off your screens too if I put you off in any way. So to date, we've been listening to the letter to the Philippians, this joyful letter from Paul. We've done a lot of theology in the last few weeks, and we're now going to look at some practical issues. And, you know, really, it's quite a change in aspect from the theology to basically two guys' travel arrangements. Now, I don't know what God is going to have me say here. I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit. So I don't know where we're going to go with this. And if I say I or you at any point in time, please forgive me, because I know the words that I'm going to say are for me as much as they are for everybody else. So let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you now to come down and be with us. Holy Spirit, come and fill us. And let us hear those words in our hearts, that each one of us, that each unique being that you made, needs to hear. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. So there are three main characters, if you like. We have Paul, we have Timothy, and Epaphroditus. Now, if I get hung up on Epaphroditus' name, I might just call him Charming, because that's what his name actually means, apparently. So let's look at those three small glimpses of these human beings that lived all those years ago. And Paul, right at the beginning of this letter, this joyful letter, he says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ. And that's what I understand Christ wants us to look at today, being true servants of God, true servants, not the servants that we want ourselves to be, not from the Bible that we sometimes believe and actually doesn't exist, exists up here. Let's look at the word. Let's look at the true word, the true servanthood of God. So Paul was in prison. He was under house arrest. He had to rely on other people to bring him food, to bring him what he needed to dictate his letters with. He was totally reliant on other people. He was in prison because he was disrupting the peace and he was looking at execution. That was the potential outcome of his imprisonment. So the Philippians, the emergent church at Philippi, wanted to help him. So they sent Epaphroditus to him. And also with him was Timothy. Timothy, Paul had met earlier as a young Christian. And Timothy had been working with Paul as a father and a son, learning the trade, if you like, learning the trade, learning the inspiration of what it means to be a true disciple, a true servant of God. And Paul wanted to send Timothy to the Philippian church because he knew that Timothy was coming of age where he was maturing in his faith and he could be trusted to take the message and the gospel and encourage that small church at Philippi who had no building, met by the river in the open air. And then if we look at Epaphroditus, now Epaphroditus was a bit of a gambler, actually. He was a gambler for Christ, because what he did was he went from Philippi, he was sent by the Philippian church to be with Paul, to help him. Now, I don't know about you, but the impression I get from the Romans were a bit trigger happy if they had guns, but they didn't. But I think, you know, they could sort of pull you off the street and just execute you because they didn't like you. And to go into someone's house where he was under house arrest was gambling with his life. Epaphroditus was gambling with his life. And with Epaphroditus, Paul showed his humanness, because with this letter, it says, be joyful in everything, I don't know about you. I'm not always joyful because of circumstances. And here we get two glimpses of Paul showing his humanness. When he was anxious about Epaphroditus. And he was also anxious about the fact that Epaphroditus nearly died for his faith. Yet God saved him. And to deny our humanness and our concerns is to deny what God has actually made us to be as human beings. So this is the background of the three people that we're looking at today. And what do they tell us? It's all about, as far as I can see, servanthood, truly serving God. Now, I've been really challenged by this, really challenged by this. There's a few phrases and a few bits of inspiration that have led me to this. In one commentary I read that Timothy was the saint of second best. Timothy always put other people first, always. Sometimes I think we can do that, and sometimes, especially when we feel threatened, we tend to try and want to put ourselves first. Now, Paul was in prison. He could have said to the church at Philippi, well, you know, I'm in prison, not doing too great, thank you very much. I'm going to keep Timothy and Epaphroditus with me. But he cared so much for the other people in his care that he didn't. He did not put himself first. He did not put Timothy first. He did not put Epaphroditus first. He put other people first. And in the day of age where we live, I wonder if we put things first instead. And this, as I say, I have been challenged with very, very much. I have a roof over my head. I have a job. I have family. I have a car. I have money. Comfortable. I have food. Fresh water comes out of the tap. And sometimes I feel I can be trapped by these things. Just as Paul was in prison, I can be trapped by these things too. And sometimes I know that I'd sometimes put these things first. But I truly believe what we're being spoken to about here is putting Christ first and taking those things out of our lives. We say, don't we, in the communion service, all things come from you, and of your own do we give you. I am nothing. I have nothing without Christ. That is quite a realization. Now, Alan mentioned earlier about the prayer time we have every morning, 6 days a week at 9 o'clock on Zoom. And we were praying the other week at Master, it was a Saturday morning, and I got this picture. I'm going to try and explain this picture to you. If you divide your screen into four, so the sign of the cross, the top two quarters and down the side, one side, are all white. And in the bottom left-hand corner, there is just a head of a person. The rest is light. And that person is talking upwards to there. And I believe that that person, you see the head, it could be anybody, is talking to Christ. But at that moment, when we have to speak with Christ and tell him what we did for him, we have nothing. We don't have our homes, we don't have our jobs, we don't have our money, we don't have any material thing. We are there alone with Christ, telling him what we've done for him, and we have life, and he gave us the life on this earth. What am I going to say to him? What are you going to say to him? That I went to church every week? He might say to me, what did you do to further my kingdom on earth? What did you do to further my kingdom on earth? What do we say in the Lord's Prayer? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How often do we seek that will? How often do we put our wills first? I was left pondering that. And how often do we find ourselves doing things for Christ that we've always done? And how often now are we finding ourselves as square pegs in round holes? A few of us were privileged enough to go and do a course. And out of that course, the one word that came to me was releasing. It's a very important word because I believe God put that on my heart to share with you about releasing ourselves and other people from doing stuff that we've always done, because that's always what we've done. But is it for Christ? Are we really doing those things for Christ? Challenge for me, and I think for everybody in these times, is that we need to lay things down. We need to seek God's will. Now, I don't, you know, I wish God would phone me sometimes because I would hear his voice much easier. But God speaks to everybody in different ways. And we have to get used to hearing his voice in our prayer life, in when we're sitting there and we see a picture, in what other people say to us, and in God's word itself. We need to study God's word. I have that privilege. It's an immense privilege. Maybe we need to ask God what things we need to be released from and what things we need to do for him. Now, I know I have said this before to most congregations, and I'm going to remind you again of the verse from Jeremiah 29:11. For I have plans for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you future and a hope. And if we truly believe those things, if we truly believe what God says to us, then maybe we can be brave and lay stuff down. Stuff, habits. Maybe when we see Jesus, and he says to us, what have we done? He might actually quote to us from Matthew. Glasses on, blinders are back without them. His master, Jesus, replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Come and share your master's happiness. Will you? Get that message from Christ. A few weeks ago, Alan mentioned a very difficult verse. For me, living in Christ is Christ and dying is gain. And that stuck with me for a while as well. Because if we truly believe in Christ, then we need to understand that our eternal lives have started. And we need to continue in those. And I looked to the Message Bible for the translation of this. And it says, alive, I am Christ's messenger. Dead, I'm his bounty. Life versus even more life. I can't lose. That is a message from the Message Bible in 1 Philippians 21. Are we those people? Or are we those people that Paul refers to when he's speaking of in the piece about Timothy? We don't put Christ first. We put ourselves first. We are those selfish people. Are we people? From Philippians 2:21, I think, or is it 1 Philippians 21? Are we people wanting to live for Christ, or are we people putting Christ second? I'm going to dare you to do something now. And it goes with, I might have mentioned in the occasional sermon, possibly, about mission and how we share our faith with other people. We all can share our faith. On the street, I'm going to share, I think with Alan's permission, what happened to him the other day. Yeah, he was walking towards the evangelical church in Mattershall, and a chap walked up to the evangelical church and walked away. And he said, I don't know what's happened, he said to Alan. You know, I was meant to preach here and I got the wrong time or the wrong date or something. And Alan said, well, I'm sorry, I can't do anything about that. And the guy said to Alan, straight away, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? He obviously thought Alan needed converting. He obviously looked a dodgy character. We can do that. But something we all have, something we have as individuals, is our story, our testimony as to what we, how we need Christ in our life, who we follow, why we follow him, and how we came to follow him. We have our testimonies. We need to share them. They're our own personal tribute to that man, that Son of Man who died on the cross. But each one of us, with each one of us, our names on his lips as he died for us. Takes a bit of comprehending that. I'm not sure I'm fully there with that yet. So my challenge to you, maybe go somewhere quiet, completely on your own, and think of you being that small person in the bottom left-hand corner of the screen, completely clothed in the white righteousness of Christ, speaking to Christ and saying to him, here I am, Lord. I seek your will. What would you have me do? And then shut up and listen and stay and listen for God's word to you. And my prayer is that each one of us will listen, step out and be bold and live our lives as if we really do belong to Jesus, putting him first above every other thing. May you and I be blessed by this. Amen.